Ain't that shit come in 2 miles, boy, about to get that work. But it's a good translation that I like. So I may refer to it a little bit. Father, we thank you tonight for your word and your presence. I thank you for this class. I thank you for each member of this class here in person, watching online. Let their lives be blessed and enriched by your Holy Spirit and your written word and your revelation through this word. If you don't touch this word, it's only ink on the page to us. And we won't be able to receive anything from it. So we thank you for divine endowment. We just thank you for blanketing this word and blanketing this class and blanketing everything that we're going to talk about tonight so that we can become more like what you expect us to be. We want to be more like what your original plan was, God. We want to be more like what you intend for us to look like. And so we thank you ahead of time. Change anything in us that needs to be changed. Enlighten us about anything that we don't know, anything that we're in the dark about, God. Give us light and give us vision. Give us clarity on it. We thank you for that. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for guiding us in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4. We'll read here, and then we're going to read another chapter that's very similar to this. And this chapter refers to some things that I want to talk about tonight. But then this when we go to this other chapter, it's a chapter very similar to Ephesians 4, but then it goes on to one of our favorite chapters. And it started showing me something about what we need to do as the church. It's unusual, church. And you all will have to forgive me because I'm on a trail. Whatever trail my apostle's on is a trail I'm on. And I get to run at full speed. And this grace thing is lighting my world up. I know it's lighting your world up too. And I've been, something's going on. And not only at this church, but I think in general. And, you know, I've always been the person, I taught a message earlier last year called Prepare for Fresh. And I've always been the type of person to be prepared for what God is about to do. I want to be in that number. I want to be prepared for whatever God is about to do next. And so I want to prepare my heart for it. I want to prepare my mind for it. I want to get myself together and be prepared to do what I need to do in whatever God is doing. I could care less about my plans, because y'all know what happens to our plans, right? They never work. They always fail. You know, our ways always lead to something crazy. But I want to be in the middle of his plan. I want to make sure that my heart is prepared, my mind is prepared to be whatever it is that I got to be. I ain't asking God for no title. I'm not asking God for no place. I'm not asking God to do. All I'm asking God is let me be in that number. All I'm asking is just use me. Will you use me? And I think if more of us were that way, and if more across the world, even ministers were that way, then God would use us more, because we're just asking to be used. I don't need no accolades or anything. I don't need no self-gratification to make me feel like somebody. I'm already somebody through Jesus Christ. I'm already somebody through the blood of Jesus. I've already been validated. I've already been justified by the cross. All right? And so once we understand that, we won't have any self-consciousness, we won't have any ego, but we know we're relying on him. So I'm on this trail, and I saw something today, and I think that you know, it's church unusual. And the church has been very usual in years of recent. I mean, and I'm not talking about extraordinary things being done in church. And when we think church unusual, we all think about that. Somebody come flying through the room. Some supernatural something going on. Not that type of stuff. Not that foggy stuff. But the church has been very usual. And what is usual? That means it's a normal. What is normal? That means nothing new happens. That means nothing special happens. Nothing endowed by the Spirit happens, because it just becomes normal. It becomes humdrum. You ever felt humdrum about church? Come on, tell the truth. And I know you love God, don't you? You love Jesus, so we just suck it up and take it. Because, you know, it's what I'm supposed to do. I got a church. I'm going to church. I got to do what I got to do, right? When Reverend says, I got to do what I got to do, right? Right. But we all have a sense of the fact that it's been very usual. You be honest with yourself. As of late, I know things have been changing lately, but just overall, you know, some people have been in church for years. You know, I've been in church for all my life. You know what I'm saying? I've been in church for years. And it should be more going on. It should be more happening. It should be more delivered. It should be more people beating down the doors to get inside. It just should be more, right? Right? Can we agree on that? Should be more. And so, you know, I want to be prepared as ministers to be able to do what we have to do when God begins to do what He's doing, and be prepared to be able to receive it. So Ephesians 4, and we read this scripture over and over again. And for reading's sake, there's nothing wrong with reading. I'm going to read through it. I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit of the bond in peace. There's one body, one spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But in every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that descended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, it's maturing, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Verse 13, till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So until we all come together in faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, the knowledge of his blood, the knowledge of his cross, the knowledge of everything he did, the knowledge of the price that he paid, unto a perfect man or a mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, meaning we'll measure up to what Christ looks like. All right, this is church unusual. To measure up to what Christ looks like. And if you go anytime and read the Gospels and read through the Gospels and read about Jesus, Jesus was the church unusual. He was the epitome of the design of church unusual. He did nothing like usual church was. I give you one real quick, and I may have told you this before, but I give you one real quick. I used to wonder why, so close the door, Darius. I used to wonder why John the Baptist, I was reading about Jesus, and this is a bit to talk about how Jesus was church unusual when he came in. I was reading about John the Baptist, and you know, we all know the story about John the Baptist. He paid the way for the Lord, and he did all the ministry until Jesus came. But we also know, what else we know about John the Baptist? Huh? Y'all don't know, what else we know about John the Baptist? What else happened to John the Baptist? Yeah, nobody wants to say it. Nah. You know, he got his head cut off, right? For the longest, y'all can be how y'all want. I just know how I felt when I became a preacher. I found out John the Baptist got his head cut off. I'm like, Lord. Like, is this what we got to look forward to? Is this where we got to go? So I got to expect, because I know John the Baptist paved the way for the Lord. This is big cousin, wasn't he? So I say, well, Lord, is this where we got to go? Because it worried me a little bit, because why did John get his head cut off? I don't understand. Like, what? So that means if I take up this cross and I take up this, if I call myself a reverend, there's a possibility that I'm going to have to go through a beheaded moment. And I was wondering that. So I just say, well, you know, you got to suffer through it, right? Okay. And I was wondering, so one day I'm reading Matthew 5, this church unusual, just talking about church unusual, how Jesus came in and started rattling everything that the church thought that they were. John the Baptist, you read, now I ain't got time to go read it, but in Matthew's, he started, you know, John the Baptist down there baptizing people. Now, you go read it for yourself, I ain't got time to go read it through for the sake of time. He down there baptizing people. And the Pharisees came out there. Right? Y'all know the story, huh? Pharisees came out there, and John say, now he baptized them. They repent of their sins. People getting baptized, they repent of their sins. They're in the place where they need to be. They repent of their sins. Getting baptized, getting submerged in the water. That's where we need to be, right? The Pharisees that came out there, he said, you vipers. Who told y'all to come and get clean of your sins? Who told y'all that here is where the place where they repent for their sins and get clean from it? Who told y'all, you vipers? He said, don't tell me that you're from the house of Abraham. I don't want to hear it. John the Baptist. And he said, I'm baptizing with water, but the one coming after me baptizing with fire. me shout on that part, praise the Lord, right? And he said, he gonna purge the floor. Purge y'all out. Now it seemed to me that that was the place that the Pharisees needed to be. Because they needed to get repentance for their sins also. I mean, hey, they're at the pool of the baptism. Don't it seem like that's the place where the answer is at the moment? I mean, they're getting free of their sins, ain't they? They're doing a good thing, ain't they? I don't care if they came talking like they came talking. I got you in the place. It's a possibility that the power of God can hit you and change your life. But John said, oh, you viper. I'm sure our church is time. So Jesus walk up. And all of a sudden, John's tone changed. He said, oh, Lord. He's meek, humble now. And Jesus said, you come baptize. He said, oh, no. You need to be baptized in me. Jesus said, no, it's written. You're supposed to go ahead and do this. Right? John baptized Jesus. You know what happened? He come up out the water, dove come out the sky, land on him, right? Everybody sees it, so we know it's got to be something special, right? Right after that, Jesus starts talking, and he get to preaching. And Jesus starts saying, if they hit you on one cheek, turn the other. He ain't come out purging no floor. He ain't called no fire out of heaven. He said, they actually go a mile with them, go two. He said, they sue you for your coat, give them your cloak also. Jesus made a statement in there, and it hit me hard when I read it. Now, I just got to read this stuff. He said, agree with your adversary quickly when you're in the way with them, lest they be offended and deliver you up to the judge who will deliver you to the prison, and you're not going to get out easy. What are you talking about, Jesus? I don't get it. I don't understand, because he told me you was coming to purge the flow with me. What's going on? What is this? This is unusual to me. This is not the message that I was used to hearing. This is not the thing. This is not what they told me. Church, this don't look like what it's going to look like when you got here. Church unusual. Now you go read and you go look. I never saw, and I didn't read. Maybe I'm wrong. Y'all hold me to it. And y'all minister. Y'all come tell me about another class. But I don't think John was following Jesus around. I don't think he followed Jesus. I don't see him being one of the disciples. You know, it's his little cousin. And he looking around like, I can imagine, he just told him, you vipers, who told y'all to come over here? And then Jesus started ministering love to him. I can see him looking like this young whippersnapper, don't know what he's talking about. You supposed to be the one, you need to go back and study a little bit more. These young preachers don't know how to do this church thing. And so I don't see John following Jesus, although we saw the dove, although we know who he was, I don't see him following. But next time I start seeing John, next time he locked up in prison because he went to the city and told his man that he messed around with his brother wife, and he shouldn't have been messing with her, right? Now, is that the truth? Yeah, that's right. You're supposed to call out sin, right? You're supposed to call it out. But I remember Jesus said, when you're in the way with your adversaries, agree quicker with them, lest they be offended. And he didn't have, watch this, John didn't have, so now he's in prison. And while he's in prison, he told his disciples, go ask him, is he the one or do we look for another? Because he didn't know. Because he couldn't recognize the church unusual, but the church unusual operates in love. So he couldn't see him. So now he in jail, right? And for the longest, I thought he got his head cut off, you know, because he was doing what he was supposed to do. That's what we thought, huh? He got a head cut off because he was doing what he's supposed to do, huh? Why he didn't listen to Jesus when Jesus said how to handle these people? Jesus was showing us how to maneuver in this system. You're not of this world. You're in this world, but not of this world. So you have to maneuver a certain way. That's why the Bible says the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by who? The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost helps us to maneuver. Yes, he was right. Yes, he shouldn't have been messing with his brother's wife. Yes, he was rightfully so. But the Holy Spirit should give you wisdom on how to do so. And love will show you the manner to minister to whoever you got to minister to. So now because John came in and you got to realize this. You know, I'm preaching the book, Living by the Book, and I love this because it makes me understand the Bible better. You come in and sit there and tell the king, you wrong for what you're doing. You mess around in front of all his people. That's almost like a riot. That's almost like you about to start a revolt. Of course he gonna grab you and put you in the prison. So you in the prison for the gospel's sake? Or are you in the prison because you didn't walk in love? Or are you in prison because you didn't get the wisdom of love to how to do that? So now I'm in prison. That's bad enough. Now you won't find out if he the one. Now you won't say, is he the one or do we look for another? Then y'all know the story go on. The girl danced for the king. He was pleased, said, what you want? You can have anything in my kingdom. Her mama told her she want his head. Head cut smooth off. We think it's for the gospel's sake, but it's because he did. Why didn't he follow Jesus? Why wasn't you there with Jesus when Jesus was doing what he was doing? It seemed like church unusual that I done told y'all we going to purge the flow with y'all. You heathens, he going to purge the flow. Oh, come over here talking that noise. What you care? Who told y'all to come get delivered? And then Jesus said, I ain't come to do away with the law, but I came to improve it. I came to fulfill it. I showed you that the law has to be fulfilled by love. It's church unusual. It's totally different from what it looked like. Totally different from what you thought it was. And so, coming to the measure of the stature of fullness of Christ has everything to do with coming to the measure of the stature of the fullness of love. Because there will be no unusual church. It's going to look like, watch this, it's going to seem like unusual church when we begin to walk in love like we should. I ain't talking about smiling at nobody. I ain't talking about, hey, good morning. So, I see so many people say, hey, good morning, and talk about you after they left you. Haven't you, right? So, we ain't talking about no, hey, good morning. We talking about the true revelation of love. I was ministering to our staff today, and I said, getting the true revelation of who Jesus is. And being like him. This is church unusual. Coming to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Coming to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 14, that we henceforth with no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and come to craftiness whereby they lie and wait to deceive. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in what? Speaking the truth in what? Speaking the truth in what? No. It says just speaking the truth. No, it says, you should know the truth will make you free, right? So speak the truth. Huh? What did it say? Did you speak the truth? May grow up into him in all things which is ahead, even Christ. From whom the whole body fitly joined again, and compacted with that which every joint supplies. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in what? Love. Unto the edifying itself in what? Love. The edifying itself in what? Love. Edifying itself in love. The effectual working of every part, edifying itself in love. The effectual working of every part maketh increase, edifying itself in love. The effectual working of every part maketh increase, edifying itself in love. So that means all these parts, God gave gifts. Y'all read it earlier, right? He gave some apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers, right? All that, huh? Then you reverends, right? Come on, ministers, right? Right. But I must be edified in love. Because if I'm not edified in love, I'm still a child. If I'm not edified in love, there is no maturity. There's no perfecting of the saints. If I'm not edified in love, then there will be no compacted and joint together. If I'm not edified in love, there can be no deliverance. No increase. I read this and give me a second. I want to read it. And I read it today to our staff. It kind of, I don't know what version this is. This is a new something. A new somebody version. And I read in Ephesians 4 and it says, verse 14, it says, that we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Church unusual. I know we like this, and we, you know, body of Christ right here, Ephesians 4, huh? Ephesians 4 talking about the body of Christ. Yeah, we talking about the gifts. Walk worthy of the vocation you were called, right? Y'all know the scripture we like in here, right? You know, your apostles, probably, well, which one I fall under, right? That's what we ask. Which one I fall under? Which one am I? I'm which one? Lord, tell me which one I am. Am I evangelist, Lord? Am I a pastor, Lord? Am I a teacher, Lord? Which one am I? Which one am I? But you shouldn't be trying to find out which one are you, but trying to find out what that love is. Because 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, and I was going somewhere else. I promise I was, because y'all know chapter 13. I love chapter 13. You know we call that the love chapter, don't we? Huh? Y'all know I speak with the tongues. Y'all know we're going to read it in a second. You're going to love chapter. And I was going there, but I was reading. I said, chapter 12. I said, whoa, hold up, because it kind of looks like Ephesians 4. Chapter 12 kind of reads the same. And it says, now concerning spiritual gifts, I will not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give to you understand that no man speaking the Spirit of God calleth Jesus a curse, that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. That sounds like one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Don't it sound the same? And there are differences of different administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operation, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation is given to every man to profit withal. For the one is given the spirit of the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same spirit, to another faith by the same spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirit, to another diverse kind of tongue, to another interpretation of tongues. But all these work in that one and self-same spirit, dividing to every man several as he will. Sound like you're passing out them gifts, huh? Yes, for as the body is one, has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Talking about us now. For by one spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, we have all been made to drink into one spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? And if the whole were the hearing, where were the smelling? For now as God sends members, every one of them is the body, as it had pleased him. And if they were all one members, where were the body? But now there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again to the head, to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Now listen, we're about to get to this love in a minute, because I'm reading everything up in there, and it sounds like he gave some apostles, some prophets, some pastors, some evangelists, teachers. They're going to say it in a minute. We're talking about we are one law, one faith, one baptism. We're all sanctified under one spirit. Y'all see that? Looking the same, huh? It's almost looking like a mirror, don't it? But then he starts talking right here, and he says, and I'm thinking he's talking about ministry, right? I'm thinking he's talking about my gift. I'm thinking he's talking about my calling. The Lord didn't call me. I done got ordained. I've been licensed as a minister, right? I think he's talking about my calling. He say that I can't say I don't need the other part, because we all need each other. The members of one body, right? And he says, nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. What? What? Nah, we want the strong. We want the strong, don't we? How we want the strong? We want the strong ones, right? No. Nay, much more of those members of the body would seem to be. There's another verse in the Bible that says, he said, my grace is sufficient for you, because where you are weak, those that are seen to be more feeble are necessary. There's another scripture the Bible says, let no man think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but think soberly, for God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Don't seem to be more feeble, unnecessary. Verse 23, you'll never, listen, this is a wonderful scripture. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, and you know what you thought about, and you just think about the people that you think less honorable when you thought about it before. Upon these bestow we more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. What are you saying, Lord? What are you saying? Are you telling me that the ones that seem like they're less honor, I should show them more honor? Is this how this goes? No. We gotta sit them down for 6 months. They gotta get right before they get access to the power of God. You gotta get right before you access the holies of holies. You gotta get right before God can use you. It's church unusual. And those members of the body, which you think less to be less honorable, abundant, bestow more abundant honor. And our comely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need. But God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. There should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, listen, ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Listen to what it's saying. And God has said something to the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles and the gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. So here we are now. We done went back to these gifts now. Talking about them apostles and prophets and evangelists. Y'all see that? We're talking about the members of the body. And he jump off and start telling me that those who are less honor need more honor. What you mean by this? That ain't how they taught me in ministry school. That ain't what the seminary say, huh? That who the less honorable, give them more honor. No. We give honor to what honor is due, huh? Where is honor due? Scripture says those who are less honorable. I ain't said it. Look at the Bible. What does it say? What does Scripture say? Those who are less honorable, what? Read it. Go ahead and read that chapter. Read the Scripture. You're gonna find it right quick. And read it right quick. What does it say? Somebody said, treat them special. I heard somebody say, treat them special. Did somebody say that? Treat special honor. That means those that seem to be unworthy in your eyes, which I don't know why your eyes thinking anybody unworthy anyway. You know, the audacity of us to think that we can send people to hell. Who gave you the ticket? Who gave you the card to punch that key? Her right there, boom, hell. And I'm dealing with something about church unusual. Because see, the usual church right now, if it don't look like I look, I'm sending it to hell. And a lot of times it's because I'm scared because I don't know how to help that person change. Because I'm afraid of sin. So we, you know, church usual right now. This is the church unusual. What I'm preaching to you right now, this is church unusual. It's crazy what I'm about to say. This is going to be a crazy thing what I'm about to say. It's going to seem like the craziest thing in the world. But love in the church is church unusual. The church right now ain't got that much love in there. Got law. Got rhetoric. Got discussions. Got judgments. Got penalties. All that. Tell me the ones who are less honorable need more honor, though. And my more uncomely parts need more comeliness. How you expect me to be more honorable unless you bestow more honor upon me? You got $4, I got $1,000. Well, how are we going to get you up from $4 to $1,000 or even more than that unless I'm putting some on you? Unless I'm giving you some of what I got. Not stiff-arming you and pushing you away and tell you to get honorable before you come stand by this honorable man. Before you join this honorable company, get honorable. That's like saying, get clean first and then take a bath. Tell me who did it in the room. Who in here got clean before they took a bath? Get clean first, then I'm going to take a shower because I'm not worthy of the shower yet. This church is unusual. We as ministers got to be prepared for this. We cannot go old paradigm. We cannot go the old way. Y'all know the old way. Put them, tie them to the whipping post. We're going to teach you how to not do this no more. Anybody ever been whooped in the church before? Y'all see, y'all playing with me right now. You all of a sudden, now they didn't whoop you. They didn't shun you. Anybody ever got shunned before? You talking about the body and all this, and all of a sudden you start talking about these less honorable people. What are we talking about? We talking about the ministry right now. Don't we talking about these less honorable people? Let's talk about these honorable, the honorable people, the reverends. Let's go. He said, but those are less honor. This is about the spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts, huh? Spiritual gifts. Those are less honor. My more feeble parts are necessary. This is unusual. This is unusual what we done learned, huh? Yes, y'all tell the truth, man. Y'all know y'all been, how long y'all been in church? How long y'all been, y'all say y'all know how long y'all been in church? How many years y'all been in church? Just say it out, Lord Jesus, forever. Come on, just say it. Come on. Y'all know what we learned, man. Y'all know what we learned. Yo, heathen. Go get your life right. Go. They're at the pool to get baptized. Go get your life right. Why are we sending them somewhere else when we got the answer here? Get right before you can access the power. Right? But the power makes you get right. You ain't changed nothing until you met the power of Jesus Christ. Ain't nothing changed about you until you met the power of the blood. And you had to meet the power. And when you met it, you was a heathen. When you met the power, you was a doggone heathen. But that power did something to you that began to change you. So now if that happened for you, why can't it happen for another? I'm going to tell you how church is. It's old. You sin come and they... But it's the very thing that they need. Is the grace is upon me. The grace that we're operating is the thing that they need. Push me away because we're trying to look good. I don't want your sin to get on me. You're gonna spread sin out in my church. You're gonna spread sin in my ministry. I ain't never heard nobody talking about sin was an epidemic. I ain't never heard nobody say how it was powerful enough to be jumping. You know, if, stand up each day, if I got the love of God and the power of God on me, and EJ got some other stuff on him, got sin on, well, I don't need to push him away. I need to bring him closer. Because sin doesn't have the power to spread. But the power of God can overcome this and change this into what he wants it to be. We've had the misconception. And it goes back to not love, but self now. See, we can be selfish sometimes when we don't even know it. Just because you share your cookies don't mean you ain't selfish. You know, we take this, kind of take the selfish. You're selfish. You ain't got to be like that. Sometimes some of the nicest people are selfish people. If you ain't willing to die, you selfish. If you ain't willing to give up what you think and how you feel to your deepest, strongest roots, then God tell you to change that to accept somebody in, right? If you ain't willing to, you selfish. This is how ministry is going to go. I'm trying to prepare you, people. I'm trying to prepare you. I'm trying to prepare you for what God is going to do. You know what? The Great Commission. What's the Great Commission? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, huh? Get them born again, huh? How are we going to get them born again? Not by your tracks. Passing out your tracks. It's not by your 1-2 punch witness. What you know about Jesus. Y'all know how we do it. Do you know the Father? Well, have you given Jesus a chance? Y'all know how we do it. Hey, well, what church you go to? Y'all know how we, man, don't play with me, man. Y'all know how we ease other people, because we be nervous, be like, well, what you believe in? Y'all know how we do it, man. Me, I'm guilty. So you go to church somewhere, you know, the stuff we do, try to ease up on it, right? Nah, the witness is going to be the love. The witness is going to be when them needs get met, when they experience that love and not the judgment. You are not a judge. All right, reverends, ministers of the gospel, right? Ministers, judge. Two ministers, judge. Spell out minister, M-I-N-I-S-T-E-R, judge. Like two whole different words, two whole different meanings, two whole different things. You're not judges. You're a minister. Where's the word minister come from? Administration. What does that mean? To minister, to pass out. You're ministers, right? Huh? Hold on. So I'm ministers. We all ministers. How many ministers we got on? Ministers, right? So, I mean, we all say we here for passing out school. Ministry school, right? We passing out school. We come here to class to figure out how to pass out. Pass out what the? Well, y'all want to pass out this word, huh? That's what you come to learn how to pass out? Gonna get that good sermon, huh? Come to pass out this word. You can pass out this word and try to preach all this word, but if it ain't the truth in love, you ain't got nothing. So now we need to be passing out this love and sharing the news about this grace. Church unusual, but it's gonna make you go loopy in the stuff that you didn't learn. We've been going in the wrong direction. Thank God for grace. He's been having grace on us. But love, that means them parts that need it, we got to give it. Because how else they going to get it? The devil ain't going to give it to them. So how else they going to get it but from the messengers of love? You were messengers of God, huh? God is love. Love is God. How else they going to get it? Unless we administer it. How else they going to know? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because the priest rejected knowledge. That's what the scripture says. Many years I read that scripture, people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And we were just like, see, people ain't got no knowledge. That's why they destroyed. But no, then after that, it says, because the priest, you know who the priest is, huh? Rejected it. So my people ain't got no love. The priest ain't giving no love. My people ain't got no love because the ministers ain't passing out what they supposed to be passing out. And then it says, start going on about the apostles that have the gifts of healing in verse 31, but cover earns the best gift, yet I show you a more excellent way. And then chapter 13 starts, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. Sound like some reverence, huh? You know we can preach a good word. I bet y'all some good preachers up here too, boy. I bet I get y'all a mic in a pulpit, boy. Y'all tear it down right quick. Good preachers. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. And have not charity, love, I become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Ain't nothing worse than a tinkling cymbal. And though I have, you talking about the gifts in that last chapter, huh? Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all. How many mysteries? How many mysteries you understand? All of them. That sounds powerful, huh? That's what we're looking for, huh? We want to speak with the tongues of men and of angels. That sounds pretty good, don't it? Sounds pretty good, huh? You say, I'm going to let you speak with the tongues of men and angels today. I'm going to give you the gift of prophecy. Prophet? I'm going to give you the gift of prophecy. You're going to know all the mysteries. That's what we be looking for. Oh, I left one out. All mysteries and all knowledge. And though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, Jesus. Y'all know what we be called. Speak to the mountain and it'll move, right? Right? You know what we call the confession of the mountain. Yeah, speak to the mountain. Believe it in your heart. Say it, believe it. Then speak to the mountain, it'll move. Mark 11, huh? Yeah, y'all know we like that scripture. That I can remove mountains and have not love. How much am I? How much am I? Then do I bestow all my goods to feed the poor? Pat yourself on the back. Mm. And though I give my body to be burned and have not love, how much it profit you? I'm not speaking tongues of men and angels. I know all mysteries, all knowledge. Got all understanding. I got faith to move mountains. Give to the poor. Bestow all my goods for the poor. Give my body to be burned. I don't know why I would do that, but give my body to be burned. And if I ain't got love, it ain't nothing. What you need faith to move all mountains for if you ain't administering this love to do it? Because you're just going to be moving mountains for you. You ever thought about the fact that when he started talking about moving mountains and speaking to the mountain that it'll move, that he might have been talking about speaking to somebody else's mountain and helping them move theirs? We want to move ours, though. Come on. Come on, look at the scripture. Look at the scripture. Give me the faith, Lord, so I can believe it, so that these mountains in my life, I can move them. But how you know God didn't call somebody else to speak to your mountain and called you to speak to somebody else's mountain? But see, love will show you how that works. Having the love of God shed abroad in your heart will show you how to administer the power. See, if you get authority, listen to this. Any authority without love becomes control. And so without love, or without having a revelation of who Jesus is, because he was all about love, without having this revelation, you will not be able to administer the gifts properly because you'll misuse them. Because obviously love itself is you. It'll be you. So now you'll be using it for you instead of what God called you to do with it. What you need faith to move all my own? What you need to do all mysteries for? Okay, so now you know all of them. Right now. Think about it for a second. So now, you know all mysteries. I just gave it to you. You ready? Y'all ready? Go again. Now you know all mysteries. Now what? You just smart sitting in that chair. You ain't got no love, so you ain't gonna pass nothing out. For God so loved that he gave. Love made him give. So what you gonna have all mysteries for and know them all if you ain't got no love? Because you're not gonna give it. You're not gonna do nothing with it. Have not love, it profited me nothing. Have not love, it profited me nothing. Come on, Reverend, you know what your gifting is? Whatever your gifting is, have not love, it profited me nothing. You know what your title is? Have not love, it profited me nothing. You know all the scriptures you read this morning? Have not love, it profited me nothing. You know all the tongues you prayed in this morning? Have not love, it profited me nothing. You know the paper you're going to get when you graduate from the school? Have not love, it profited me nothing. 5,000-member church, have not love, it profited me nothing. Because you ain't going to know how to love them no way. Send me on international ministry, have not love, it profited me nothing. Get hands laid on by apostles, have not love, it profited me nothing. This is church unusual. It must be wrapped up, covered, filled up, undergirded, all that by love. Everything that you do. Ain't got nothing to do with you. Ain't do what you want all the time. What's the point of having these gifts? And what's the point of having these callers? And what's the point of studying all this stuff? And what's the point of doing all these things that we do to try to get closer to God if we ain't got no love? What are you doing? Sounding brass, tinkling cymbal. Your tongue sound like sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. Your praying tongue had not, your tongue sound like sounding brass, tinkling cymbal. Love suffers long and is kind. Love envies not. Love vaunting not itself is not puffed up. Do not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. What's the last thing you called evil? Who's the last person you called evil? It's a gut check, people. God ain't gonna send them people to you if you ain't gonna love them. I was reading the Church Unusual book, and I had to go to this one night, but I read in the part that said God deals with us by how we handle things and how we handle what he's getting, how our stewardship. But God is not, if we ain't got a rooted foundation of love in us already, it don't make no sense for God to send nobody to us. It don't make no sense for God to give us no anointing. It don't make no sense for God to do more for you, endow you with more for what? Rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoice in truth. Rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoice in truth. Rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoice in truth. Rejoice, verse 6, rejoice is not in iniquity, but rejoice is in truth. Because church sometimes rejoices in iniquity. Because you think people deserve that stuff. Look at them, see? Look at them. See? They up here saying, look at them. Look at them. They should have failed. What kind of love is this? Bear thy thing, believe thy thing, hope thy thing, do the thing. Love never fails. But whether there be prophecies, you're going to fail. Whether there be tongues, they'll cease. Whether there be knowledge of evangelism, for we know in part, power in part, but that which is perfect is come, and that which is part is done away with. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. I said, Lord, what in the world is verse 11 doing in there? I never understood. I just thought it was a cute little scripture. He just felt like saying it while he was preaching. But I realized that my maturity has everything to do with my love. And as long as I ain't got rooted and grounded in love, then I'm still a baby. Some of us still got to grow up. I'm still growing. I'm still growing because I got to get a deeper revelation of love. I'm trying to get a revelation. Jesus, give me a revelation of you. I want to do it like you do it. Let me love like you love. Because I don't get it. Sometimes I don't get it all the time. I gotta get these webs out of my head. You know what I'm saying? The stuff that I thought it was supposed to go. My righteous, what I think is righteous. Now we see the glass darker, but then face to face. Now I know in part, and then shall know even as I know. And now about it, faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these. This is Church Unusual. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and your might and everything you got. And love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love them people that come in as you love yourself. Whatever church you start, whatever ministry you do, whoever you got to minister to, whatever witnessing you do, you better make sure you're doing it in love. I don't need your scriptures. I don't need you to go into your concordance and tell me all the stuff that you think you know. I need your love. These people out here need your love. They need that love of God flowing through you to them. Ain't nothing going to change them but the love of God. Y'all realize that, right? How many scriptures you done read to people that you was trying to change before and they still ain't changed? How many scriptures you read to yourself about something that you want to change and it ain't changed? Because love will do it. That's ministry. That's Church Unusual. We get that love going, God will use it to do something. Tell Lynn, we just going to be talking, making noise. Amen.